A new study into the use of the drug ice in Australia reveals it's not at epidemic proportions, and reports of escalating use of the drug could be dangerous. The study from the Burnet Institute also warns that expensive public campaigns on the risks of ice won't be effective and should be replaced with targeted intervention for people more likely to use the drug. In fact, the data shows that use in the community is stable, not increasing, stable at 2% over the last 10 years. And the drug is of greater purity, and that is worrying experts. Professor Dietz is the leader of a study into ice at the Burnet Institute, and he's with us now. Paul Dietz, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you, James.
So your study has found that Australia is not in the grip of an ice epidemic. That is obviously contrary to what many of us have been led to believe.
Well, I guess the for those of us in Victoria, you almost get constant exposure to story after story about various problems related to methamphetamine. And I want to actually make the point that when we're talking about ice, we are talking about the drug methamphetamine, which comes in various forms, and the crystal form of methamphetamine is what people refer to as ice. And the almost daily media reports of ice-related problems and so forth do sort of work to create the idea that there is an epidemic, at least in Victoria anyway. I know the media hasn't been as intense in other states and territories, but the reality is, as you pointed out, that the national data suggests that recent methamphetamine use in the community remains at reasonably stable levels. All of our investigations into other samples of people, so people who attend music festivals, people who inject drugs and so forth, suggest relatively stable prevalence of use of methamphetamine. But what has changed is that people are shifting from other forms of methamphetamine to crystal methamphetamine, and crystal methamphetamine or ice is typically purer, although other forms of methamphetamine sometimes are purer than ice. And so our data are really interesting in terms of looking at this purity issue.
If people are shifting to ice, then why isn't the number of ice use, why isn't the percentage increasing?
Because the drug is methamphetamine. Again, you want to make that point.
So you're saying the use of methamphetamine in all its forms is stable?
Yes, absolutely.
And ice is increasing within that stable cohort?
That's exactly the point.
I see. Well, that still is a great cause of concern, though, given it's not an unreasonable suggestion to say that the drug problem is getting worse, precisely because ice is a more dangerous form.
It certainly is purer in the main, and what we've shown in our analyses with Victorian Police and Victorian Police data is that the purity has increased dramatically. So even amongst the crystal form, we originally had purity in 2009 of something like 21%, and that's increased to around 65% in 2013, and all indications are that that's continuing to rise. And so when people buy a quantity of the drug, and typically people buy a similar quantity every time they purchase, a 0.1 of a gram, then obviously in 2009 people were getting 21% pure drug, and the same purchase in 2013 would be giving them something like triple the amount of substance. And so that is what we believe probably underpins the increases in harms that we're seeing. So we are seeing increases in things like hospitalizations, we are seeing increases in ambulance attendances and so forth, and we believe that it's probably best explained by these changes in purity.
How have the illicit manufacturers of the drug managed to increase the purity?
Presumably they're just becoming more skilled at making the product. I mean, I'm no chemist, but my understanding is that the techniques that they're using nowadays are becoming more and more refined, and there is a market out there for purer versions of the drug and so forth. And so, as a consequence, that's kind of driving it.
And what techniques do governments and health authorities use to counter the use of ice and methamphetamine in its advertising, education and so forth? What works, what doesn't?
Well, some of the things that we know are likely to have an impact are things like Project Stop, which basically is designed to reduce the capacity of people to divert pseudoephedrine from, in particular, from chemists. Because that's used in the local manufacturer. We also know that there's some targeted education that's needed, so we need to equip frontline workers in particular about how to manage people who might present with on methamphetamine, because we know they present sometimes in agitated and potentially aggressive states, and so we need to work out how to best de-escalate those sort of things.
If you're targeting them once they've developed a fully fledged addiction, isn't it too late?
No, I mean, we know that lots of people move through. There's lots of natural recovery within cohorts of people that we've looked into. So, the prognosis for most people who do use the drug is very good. You know, even the 2% that you mentioned before, I mean, we know that most of those 2% don't get into major long-term problems. I mean, they might get acute problems and things like that, but the prognosis is good for people. So, really, we need to make sure that we manage them effectively. And at the same time, you know, we need to, work with our law enforcement efforts to make sure that, the supply reduction is done effectively.
What about mass advertisements? We've seen those ads of people explaining they feel the insects crawling under their skin when they have a overuse of methamphetamine and these kind of warnings. Are they effective?
Well, the track record on all of those campaigns across all of the different drugs isn't particularly good. We know that they are popular, but in the US, for example, we've seen that they can actually further stigmatise people and actually lead them to stop looking for treatment and all of those sorts of things because of the stigmatising effects of these campaigns. So what we really need to do is think that the reality is that it's only a small number of people who are using the drug. As a consequence, we need to be focusing on those people and working out strategies to help and assist and manage their issues.
Is there an argument that says with these mass campaigns, which have shocking imagery and suggest terrible things will happen up to and including death if you use the drug, do they, especially with younger people who see their friends using the drug and not dying, and some perhaps even using the drug with a measure of control, that leads them to A, mistrust the ad because it misrepresented the situation, but B, and much more damagingly, then mistrust the entire medical establishment, which can lead to the problems you've just been talking about?
Look, I'm not sure that the campaigns are going to lead them to distrust the entire medical establishment, but certainly the evidence is that messages need to be credible when they are disseminated, and we know a lot of the messages that have been disseminated in the past haven't been credible, and as a consequence, some of the effects that you're saying have been noted, and there have been actually paradoxical effects where some of the campaigns have actually led to increased use of substances such as tobacco and so forth. But all of those things have been better refined nowadays, so tobacco campaigns work really well. So, some more thought needs to be given to how we better best go about doing these things.
Well, Professor, thanks for your report.
No trouble.
Paul Dietz is the head of alcohol and drug research at the Burnett Institute.